Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Psychosocial Distancing Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Chadbourne. With me, as always, is Thomas Brooks.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So,
we've got a doozy of an episode.
Yeah, we're going to jump off the deep end in this one. After doing research for this episode, I've decided that, like, I am dumber for it. I don't know what to think anymore, Thomas. I learned a lot about what people think. And this is our astrology with extra steps 3.0. Many extra steps.
Are there many extra steps to this one, though? I feel like you just opt in.
Yeah, I mean, you do opt in, but the amount of work psychologically and logically that you kind of have to keep processing and engaging with to keep up with this, like to learn all of this, or even like the core five of what we're going to talk about today, is just... it just seems exhausting. Like, you could go and, like, read a book or learn something, pick up a skill trade skill in the time and effort and energy you would put into this. But I don't know. That's just me. Especially because, like, everything we're talking about this season, it's completely bunk.
Right.
So I guess we'll introduce our topic, because I like just sort of stringing people along for a little bit and being like, we're going to talk about
you
this
really
crazy
do.
Thing. I don't just want to come out and say it. Yeah.
An apt audience already knows what we're going to talk about.
That's true. But if you just clicked on this and thinking like, what the heck are they talking about? We're going to talk about alphas and betas and... everything else. Oh god, there's a quiz. Okay,
there is a quiz.
So we're going to talk about wolf people, or this whole sort of alpha movement. It's actually a byproduct of the red pill movement. I don't know, they kind of cross over, so I don't know if one caused the other or like grew out of the other, but it does seem that like that whole kind of red pill alpha male kind of started, and then like alpha male wasn't good enough, so we got to become a sigma male, and then sigma male wasn't good enough, we got to basically create one for every letter of the Greek alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And I will preface, I am going to use my definitions from urbandictionary.com. They are completely worthless. Some of them are meme-y, but honestly, they're better written and put together than 90% of the other articles that I found. And it doesn't make it any more or less legitimate by me taking my definitions from Urban Dictionary, because there's nothing psychologically to support this.
Right. No, this is like, I don't know. It's kind of like straight dude astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Without like the cosmic like predeterminism.
It's angry YouTube atheist astrology.
Angry YouTube atheist astrology.
Well, because you can't be into astrology if you're like a modern atheist, right? Or you shouldn't be, because like that's just as BS. And so where do you go? You have to go to these like rational, natural, like the evolution. What does evolution say? What do these animals do?
So I just need to say this. So we'll post this quiz in the description, but I was just flipping through it, and question five is, what's your Myers-Briggs type?
Oh yeah, it's very, very highly tied to both the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram.
Really?
Certain Enneagram types are associated with certain personality types.
Okay.
I have a question for you, and maybe I can get you to ramble a little bit while I answer a question or two on this thing.
Yes.
I'm not as well versed in it, but I know you're teaching personality psych.
Mm-hmm.
What, if anything, is there? Because this reminds me a lot of like that sort of type A, type B personality. Like when people talk about that in like an IO or business sense. And I always kind of took that with like the smallest of grains of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you know anything on like anything about that. Because that's what it reminds me of.
Oh, with type A, type B stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like type A, type B is, so the first category, type A is a highly productive, very high energy, very assertive personality cluster, whereas type B is more passive and relaxed and chill and go with the flow, and they don't really get bumped psychologically very much by their environment or the people in their environment particularly.
Yeah.
And so basically, like, the way that I conceptualize type A, type B is if you like resort your Big Five questionnaire and you put things like conscientiousness and neuroticism and extroversion over into type A, and then you put your like agreeableness and openness to experiences over in type B. And so I haven't seen any research that factors them that way or tries to conceptualize them that way, but I have a feeling that neuroticism is probably the primary driver of getting sorted into either one of these categories. The history of it, because this goes back a while, I can't remember who originated it off the top of my head, but it's very much in like what we talked about a few episodes ago when it came to like stages and like typologies of different psychological constructs. And so it was like a well-intended best thing to use at the time, and it was fairly reliable. But it really has gone out of vogue, except in, like you said, like IO or business situations. And so one of the things, like I would say like the pillar or the foundation of type A and type B that like the researchers hold up as like their holy grail that this thing exists is that, heart disease is highly related to type A. Because of the high amount of stress that they're put under for just being themselves. And so that's kind of like the thing that sticks out, like, oh, hey, if you're type A, you're more likely to have some sort of heart disease. And so, but like, that's the same for neuroticism too. If you're like riding high for a long time, then you're going to start having physiological breakdowns of your body because it's not supposed to be riding that high. And so I kind of wonder too about type A, type B, is if there's like some sort of like socialization process or like achievement, need to achieve mm-hmm. mentality that is like reinforced within specific contexts. And so kind of like psychopathy and Machiavellianism and narcissism are rewarded in some contexts. I wonder if type A and type B are rewarded in other contexts. Like if you're looking to be an entrepreneur or you're wanting to climb up middle management or, you know, get tenure, like you better be stretching your type A pretty hard and being assertive and like being conscientious and like letting that, like we said a couple episodes ago with neuroticism, like that detail orientedness,
mm-hmm.
those all need to be elevated. And so if you were to take some sort of sorting quiz between type A and type B while you're in that context with that high demand, you're going to be put in A. Whereas if you're like, I don't know, a laborer or working at the Amazon plant, then, you know, type B is probably going to serve you better in that context because you'll be riding low, you'll be riding out the clock. If you've got like a fake job, and by fake job, I'm just being derogatory about office workers. then you probably want to like take it easy and not do anything crazy. Just brief tangent.
Yeah.
I saw a advert for a position called a prompt engineer. And okay. The prompt engineer has a salary range of $150,000 to $325,000 a year. And the prompt engineer's sole job is to navigate and provide prompts for chatbots for the company, like ChatGPT.
And how much again was this?
$150,000 to $325,000.
We're in the wrong line of work.
We really are. A new fake job landed.
Oh, man. You know, like even a couple of years of that.
On my salary, I just have to do it for 4 or 5 and then I could retire.
What if I did it, like they could give me a quarter of it and I'll do it for 10 hours a week.
Right.
Do it for, what is it? $30,000 a year.
Yeah. $30,000 a year. I'll do it 10 hours a week. Well, that's not a terribly good trade-off.
Yeah.
Because that's still...
I still have to do my regular job, so...
Right, and that's still 520 hours a year.
Yeah.
For only $30,000.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd just take the salary. Because I'm sure, like, playing with prompts on ChatGPT, I'm sure will not take that much time. Like... I look at most of these fake jobs, and if you get them, the thing about it is that when you're in the job in person in the office, most of your day that you're required to be there, you're doing nothing but looking busy. And so when you're remote, you get to do all of the things that you have to do that day in like 3 hours if you sit down and do it. So like, I'm sure you could probably pull a full time fake job writing prompts for ChatGPT.
I mean, yeah, but it would get real boring real fast. But I don't know. So let's go back to
all alphas. That to say,
yeah.
So type A, type B, alphas, betas. Like I see the conceptual. Like there's some sort of like to I don't know, not quote, but to surmise from our experience with the Yoon Society.
Right.
I imagine there's some sort of dichotomous sorting variable in the collective unconscious that emerges as type A or as alpha and beta.
I really think it's introvert, extrovert, right?
Introvert, extrovert. Maybe.
Just some I mean, like we have our dichotomies, like, you know, introvert, extrovert. What's the other of in? Whatever it is. Like it's all. We like to split stuff into easy categories,
mm-hmm.
because it's easier on us. But the reality is the world is a much more gray spectrum of stuff. So
yes,
yeah,
which I think leads to why there are now 23 different kinds of wolf people.
Well, right, because if you don't want to be, like, maybe you don't see yourself as an alpha, and if you're not an alpha, you're a beta, and you don't want to be a beta. So then right. You have to be like, well, I'm something else. And so you have to kind of come up with your other stuff, or you see someone else who doesn't fit into that category, and you need to conceptualize some random aspect of who they are and how they differ from you, because you're an alpha. What's this guy? He's not a beta. But what is he? So like I want to take us back. So like let's talk about the grain of truth in this, or at least because there really isn't a grain of truth in this. It turns out it was all the original stuff that kind of speculated the concept of alphas and betas has been debunked. What we know about wolf hierarchies is very different. There is no alpha, there is no beta, there is no omega. Whatever it may be, there's no alpha male and alpha female. What we actually know about wolves is that there's a parenting pair, and that the other wolves in the pack are typically their offspring.
Right.
And because we don't refer to family units as an alpha father, an alpha mother, and a beta child. I mean, we kind of do. We've got the firstborn, and we've got the youngest, and like we do kind of categorize things like that. But again, like that's not, things are more complex than that.
Right. And like, and I think that's, I don't know. I feel like with, so for the uninitiated, the alphabet people come from this old school idea about wolf packs. It's, that they're,
I was going to say, it's like, David Mech.
David Mech. And this is like, from what I remember, this is like Victorian, right?
Well, no. So David Mech wrote in his 1970 book, The Wolf, Ecology and Behavior of an Endangered Species, that alphas win control of their packs in violent fights with other males. He then came back in 99 and outlined in a paper that like, so it turns out if you only observe wolves in captivity, they do this. In nature, the wolves split off from their pack. And this is his own writing. They split off from their pack when they mature and seek out opposite sex companions with whom to form new packs. The male and female co-dominate the new pack for a much simpler, more peaceful reason. They're the parents.
Right. And then,
I don't know if it goes back before then. It probably does.
I think that's interesting because like there's this, so you take this original idea of like alpha wolves and like beating up the betas, and there's even a kids cartoon about it too, isn't there?
It's like a wolf cartoon called Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, that's what I
only
was
know
thinking.
About it because I follow bad animation on YouTube.
So, like, that comes to mind. But also, so, like, you take this idea, you, like, I'm sure this dude, like, you know, the zeitgeist of evolutionary psych is in the air. So, like, if it goes on with wolves, it must happen with people. And so you get these internet dudes who don't have a lot going for them. Or they do, and they claim to be alphas.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to develop these little identity cults around the different Greek alphabets. I find it interesting that because I could see you re-spinning this, like, you know, like wolves in their natural habitat do this. Oh wait, no, it's only in captivity. And like you could probably see some sort of like trad movement where like reject modernity, embrace tradition, like mm-hmm. return to the forest, and like so that way you don't have to be an alpha anymore. Like, let me just like whisper that into the internet and see where it goes.
I mean, we are in captivity.
We are in captivity. So it just happens to be that we're both the prisoner, jailer, and the jail.
Yeah.
We're not captive by aliens.
And that to me also like is why we end up with 23 of these different things, because like if you are in, and if you do begin to embrace it, you're naturally going to have to challenge it. It is not cookie cutter. It's not as, I mean, it is vague in like astrology is, where like you kind of wave some stuff, but like this is a little more like clear. Like astrology has to be more vague and more applicable to everyone because it's based on when you're born. So anyone could be any sign. Mm-hmm. In this case, it is a little more grounded in that, like, this is what an alpha is. This is what a beta is. This is what a gamma male is, whatever it may be, because it's not about when you're born. It's about social hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of what the crux of this is. It kind of goes back to that, and I think that's why it resonates with some people. It goes back to some of our discussions on like evolutionary psych and looking at kind of like how we kind of live in a hierarchical society, and because of that hierarchical society, we kind of look for ways to better understand ourselves through that kind of similar hierarchy. And we have hierarchies everywhere. You know, we have managers, we have CEOs, we have monetary wealth creates a hierarchy of its own. And this feeds into a lot of those same stereotypes. Like, if you're rich, you must have gotten it for some reason. It's not because you inherited it. It's not because you had, you know, a parachute from this tech startup that you helped bomb. No, it's because you are that intelligent, and you must be an alpha, or some, you know, Wolf of Wall Street level, like, strong man,
macho, cocaine snorter.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's totally fair, because it kind of masks, like, it's, I don't know, it feels like the people who get invested in this, and who will probably take the most offense to this podcast, which I don't necessarily mean offense, because I feel bad, because, like, this feels like some sort of, like, playground representation hyper real hierarchy that they can, like, you know, that people can use to, like, feel better about the fact that they're not high up on the pecking order.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know, I just did that, Vice asked for that quote about goon caves, about, like, men who have their, like, little special computer setups to watch porn with the bros with. And, like, part of it is, you know, it's not a man cave because they don't have money or space for that.
Right.
And, like, if you're only, like, working and then going home to your apartment to, like, play video games, watch anime, and jerk off, like, you got to feel good about something.
Yeah. And I'll definitely say, like, part of this is, like, originally there were only, like, 3 to 5 that actually kind of sit within the core sphere of these. So, like, most of these are like, even if you wanted, like, a core grouping, I think there's some, like, sense to be made in terms of, like, the hierarchy of, like, the core five.
Okay.
Some, and I don't want to, like, go on a defense, but also, like, I don't want to offend. I get what you're saying. I get your point. Like, I see that in the people who are in on this. It also gives me, like, big fake it till you make it vibes. Like, if you can act like an alpha, and we have plenty of examples of that, like, working in business settings, being a little more dominant, a little more assertive, a little more extroverted, a little more self-assured, like, that can lead to more success because of bias.
The way that you're perceived. Yeah.
Right. Bias and those perceptions from others, versus if you're very timid, very introverted, like, sales, you're not going to do well in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone who is more assertive is going to push you aside to climb the ladder if you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something controversial yet brave?
Of course. Absolutely.
I get the feeling that these are, like, collective personas for non-furries.
How controversial yet brave? I mean, it's like, we create personas. We have this. I was talking to my class about this today, like, this character identification. Like, we identify with prominent characters usually for two reasons. One, that they're like us. And the other, because we want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a young man in today's day and age, or a young woman in today's day and age, finding some kind of role model that, especially if they're successful, if they're doing well, if they're making lots of money, or if they seem to be, makes sense. You want to emulate them. You want to be them. You want to get where they are.
Because it's a lot better than where you're at right now.
That's why we still worship billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Why we don't want to tax them, because we might be there one day.
Or eat them.
But we don't want to do that, Thomas, because we could be them one day. We can't. Realistically, we can't.
No.
But we could, right? No. Yes.
No. No.
But we think we could.
We think we can.
Yeah.
That's kind of the one thing that I find odd about this, too, is that, like, even though the wolf people don't have, like, cosmic, like, predeterminism like astrology people do, it still seems very essentialist. So like, I understand like this process where like you have to opt into the group. Like you're not born an alpha, you're not born a sigma, you're not born a zeta or whatever. But like, as soon as you're in there, it gets like naturalized and like essentialized in a way that like almost like becomes self-defeating for the like cope that it set out to be in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I want to identify as an alpha because X, Y, and Z are all alphas and I want to be successful and I see myself in them. And so I identify. So I'm going to join this alpha male Reddit group. But then you adopt the identity and then it becomes this like essentialized non-movable thing that's no longer flexible, that like gives you that scaffolding to achieve the thing in the first place, which makes me think this is a trap.
Well, I mean, especially so because like I would argue it's not being promoted by the people I think who could benefit from it the most. So I think you either have, I think if you want to do this well, and I don't think you can necessarily, because I think that there, again, there's sort of too many, and maybe we'll do an incel episode. Cause I have a lot of the similar views on like, I think there's potential in a positive community of people who can come together and kind of share some of the issues that they're going through. Like if we're talking about like true, like not like my personality sucks, so I'm an incel. It's like, no, like, I have severe Tourette's. I can't date.
Right.
And,
or like you're an 18-year-old who now works at the Amazon plant in a city that you don't know anybody in.
Right. And so you don't have time and you don't have the resources and you're not getting paid enough and, you can't go out. And so you're limited to hoping that someone will match you on Tinder. Yeah, I think there's an opportunity for like kind of like a positive, like if we're talking about this, it's predominantly talked about in the realm of men, but we could talk about this in the realm of men or women, because there are analog groups. They're just not as prominent or loud or as organized on the internet. But you could have a group of men who sit around and go, all right, this is what it means to be an alpha male. This is what we're going to try to promote. We want to help build you up. Like we're there, we're here to support you. We know like you're not there yet, but you can be. You might be at that beta level, but you can move up to the alpha level. You can be that, Wolf of Wall Street. You can build assertiveness. You can build your courage and confidence. And we as a community will come together and support you for that. And we'll call out your bad behavior and we'll promote your positive traits and we're gonna help you. And there are some communities, like I'll shout out that there's a men's lib subreddit and they're really like positive. They don't take shit. they don't handle any like toxic behavior, but they're really positive about like talking more seriously about men's issues and like talking about like promoting positive behaviors. And it's like refreshing to see that after you deep dive into some of these communities that no longer exist. So I think there is a way to do that. There is a way to, but it gets kind of co-opted and kind of taken over by typically people who want to con money. You.
Money.
Yes. They want to con you. They want to say, look, I can teach you how to be this, but you got to pay me. And then they use that money to kind of promote their own alpha male. So that it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy for them. But not for you.
Right. The focus is no longer on the person who needs the assistance to become the alpha male. The focus then becomes on the figurehead who is the alpha male that everyone must emulate.
And they're not telling you anything you can't go and find out. It's the same three or four regurgitated mantras that self-help people have been spouting for decades.
Yep.
It's the same X rules for life. To make money.
Make money.
On just
and keep people trapped.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't really talk more about like the research and stuff, because the research, it's so simple. It's like, guy wrote this book in the 70s, suggested alpha males, 20 years later went, yeah, I was wrong. 30 years later, I was wrong. And everyone just forgot that he was wrong, or is just are ignoring it, because it fills that gap. And again, if you're trying to make money with your new self-help internet pickup artist program,
right, you're not going to mention that. But also, it right. also it relates back to like my critique of anthropology. Like, nobody's going to know if you find the pre-Ice Age civilization. Right. Like, there's no way that like academic marketing is good enough to like come out with like promote the, guess what, guys, I was wrong about the wolves. Don't put them in cages. Like, well, nobody's going to read that.
It's even better because like he wrote a book that got really popular where he talked about it. His counter argument was just in a published article. So of course no one read it.
In the 90s, right?
Yeah, 99. He wrote one in 99 and one in 2000. And
but so like pre-social media, so that wasn't circulating when it came out.
Right, right. And so you could get the book easier. And also, like, the book you can buy on Amazon. You could buy anywhere still. You can't buy the article. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you go to the publisher, but you have to be scholarly savvy to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Sounds like a job for our friends at Sci-Hub.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, like, I'll see if I can pull the article, find the articles, and link to them. So I found a couple of, like, I did some deep dives into some of the basics. And so there's a lot of people who claim to kind of have their big understanding of the social hierarchy. And this is kind of typically how it's phrased, that kind of sociosexual hierarchy or social hierarchy, masculine social hierarchy, whatever it may be. And it typically puts people into one of five categories. And so three of these five come from the wolf studies. Or the wolf okay. perception. And it's alpha, beta, and omega. And so alpha is the chief. He's the wolf in charge. Or beta, or the alpha female, is the female wolf in charge. The beta is the second in command. So if we look at, basically it's the oldest child in a wolf pack is kind of what they were viewing. And the omega is the runt of the litter, is the lowest of the hierarchy, because it's beginning and end. Of the so we've got the alpha, the beta, the omega. Omega is the lowest on the totem pole, so alpha is the first letter, omega is the last. But a lot of these groups have recently added two, the gamma, because that's the third letter of the alphabet, and then it's co-opted the sigma male.
Sigma.
So which is, it's the weirdest one for me, because it's the one where, like, if you don't care about any of this stuff, you're a sigma male. But the second you identify as a sigma male, you can't be one anymore, arguably. Because then you care about the social hierarchy, right?
Right.
And sigma males don't care about the social hierarchy. They just kind of do their own thing. They're cool like that.
Cool.
So it's like Schrodinger's sigma male.
You're a sigma male until you open the box.
Yeah, until you opt into the group. But I think it's again, it makes a lot of sense if we're talking about these like specific hierarchies. You want to be a part of these groups because like your male friends are, or everyone's talking about it, or like you want to feel that you like belong to this masculine hierarchy, but like you don't really care. And so you create the sigma male to come out. To like fill in that gap of the like ambivalent like person in the group that's like, look, you guys do your alpha stuff, like I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing here, and I'm gonna be successful doing it, but like I'm just gonna go about my own business.
Right.
So I did find this.
What's, I was gonna ask for clarification on the gamma male.
Yeah. So the way this one website described it is based on command and attitude. So positive or negative command. So I guess that's more like assertiveness, like engaging, being in control, and then positive versus negative attitude.
Okay.
So they measure the alpha and the beta male as positive command, positive attitude for alpha. So like you're in command, but you got a pretty good attitude, like you're in charge, you're taking control of the group. Beta male would be negative command, positive attitude. So they define these as like these are the worker bees. They have low resources. They're tolerated because like they're needed. Like we need people who kind of like work within the social structure. But they don't get the women and they don't get the resources, and they have low testosterone, and they don't really make decisions very well. It's also really funny because like high testosterone is associated with baldness. I'll just say that right now. So like if you're really worried about like maybe you don't want a really high testosterone. So that deals with kind of like those are the positive attitude groups. So these people like tend to function well in society. The gamma and the omega do not. But they have kind of weird differences. So they actually use for negative attitude on both ends, they actually use gamma and sigma for these. Okay. Omega is something very different according to this website. I just found it really interesting. So it's kind of like why I'm harping on this one take. So gamma males, according to this, and I'll give like, I've got three definitions. So the website definition kind of describes them. This was one of those like socio-hierarchy websites. They have negative command. They also have negative attitude. So they're kind of like angry beta males. They don't function well in society. They tend to be bitter. They tend to be clueless. They can't grasp red pill concepts. So like they can't quite, like a beta male can like enter the red pill group. Mm-hmm. But like they understand their place in the hierarchy. They're not at the top, but they can still live their lives. They basically, and so the gamma male kind of checks out, says, I'm not going to be a part of the mating game. I'm going to be bitter at women. I don't really like, I just, I, like they don't get how the game works and they're angry about it.
Right.
So it's kind of like what happens when like the beta just gets fed up.
Pre-initiation beta.
Yeah, very possibly. Like you then accept, if you can accept it and you can understand the way the hierarchy works. I do like, so I'll read you two definitions. I like the second one better, but there are a lot of these like really long definitions online trying to codify and describe this in quasi-intelligent ways. A late stage sigma male who no longer feels the need to share his views with others. He simply acknowledges he's smarter than the rest and there's no changing him. He does not conform to your standards. It says extremely breadable, but I think it they're supposed to mean breedable. He herds lions, not sheeps, and sheeps is pluralized with like possessive pluralized. Also known as the manufacturer of red pills. Yes, this is real. Which is also like a completely different definition than the other one I just read.
Right.
Because this is saying like, no. Gamma males are good. It's not that they can't grasp red pill concepts. They're manufacturing the red pills to give out. They're better. My favorite definition from urbandictionary.com is a stupid fucking word. And I was like, yes, gamma male. So, and that's why we're an explicit podcast now.
For adults.
Yeah, please don't let your kids.
For real men.
Yeah. And so the sigma male is positive command, negative attitude. So they're like the lone wolf. They defy placement and social hierarchy, but they're still successful. So they're like working outside the boundaries. They're the one definition says that they're more internally focused sibling to the alpha male. The alpha male quantifies himself on a high position. The sigma male just says to hell with the social hierarchy. And that's kind of kind of it. They don't have to play social politics. They can focus on themselves and self-development as opposed to like having to deal with other people. So it's like a high achieving introvert,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, if your alpha male is your high achieving extrovert, the sigma male kind of fills that category for the introvert side. And then I'll mention as like the fifth one, the omega in this case is defined as actually like a worse gamma male. So they define gamma males as negative, negative command, negative attitude. That they're saying no, the omega male is like an extreme variation of that. They're aggressive. They're hopeless. They're the person who becomes the violent, almost like sociopathic, like angry man. You take your passion out on the hierarchy, out on the crowd, out on the people around you. And that's pretty well established in some of the other like definitions that I've read, is that that's kind of like, again, you're at the absolute bottom because you resort to violence. And you lash out. It's your spree killer. It's like the angry male serial killer that we talked about last season would be the omega, the lowest of the totem pole, the lowest on the social hierarchy.
Gotcha.
And then there's like 20 more.
Which I think are probably just memes.
So some of them are. Some of them like so apparently like the Tau male is associated with some like Twitch streamer or something like that. So it's like a kind of personality, like, picked one, got in early, and was like, oh, we're gonna make this a joke. There's a couple that are definitely very meme-y, or that are like subtle variations. And then that there are some that seem to be created, whether for memes or not. I mean, these are all memes. They seem to be created where someone wants to kind of like fill in the gap or define themselves. And they're picking something that's available. There were a couple, there are like two that that stood out to me as almost like, I need to define groups that I hate and groups that are like again, like if I'm defining my world within the alpha, beta, sigma, whatever, we start to look at finding a letter male combination that can demean another group of people. So like the epsilon is like a weak-willed, you know, they say like hereditary rulers who defer to their advisors instead of making their own decisions. The delta male, who once was very alpha, but has, in, you know, delta's the change, so was very alpha, but like let themselves go. So as you grow up and mature, you kind of become a slob. You're a has-been. You were the jock in high school, and now you're nobody. And then the new in you, which I think is also tied to like new male, which was like a thing for a while. That's your soy boy. That's your it's kind of a synonym for beta male in this case, and it's used a lot with the term cuck. Gotcha. Which I never thought I'd say on this podcast.
And it's not even the sex season yet.
No, it's not. But like, you know, I think there's something else about people who unironically use that to like demean other people. But that's a whole other thing.
So like the new male is kind of like your like gentrifying hipster liberal who has the aggressive girlfriend who
you're a feminized man, you're an emasculated man, you're even though, again, this is more pseudoscience, this is not how it works. Soy does not like increase your estrogen levels to the point where you're going to become a female or act more feminine. I'll post a video for that too for this one. There's a really good like expose deep dive into all the soy research stuff. But yeah,
if you're gonna be mad at soy, be mad that it's deforesting the rainforest in Brazil.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we can avoid soy for different reasons. For more correct reasons.
More correct reasons. Like, let's keep the rainforest.
I also have to look up, and I'll let you go for bacon, but I'm going to end on the Psy Mail.
Oh, that's the one I wanted to do, because it has my favorite definition.
Well, go for it.
Well, do you want to give, like, the actual, like, on the Urban Dictionary? They have one that's, like, the legit one, and then the second one is my favorite.
So I think I probably copy the legit one, which is a man who attracts both platonic and romantic relationships to their intellect.
Mm-hmm.
A Psy male is often an introvert, interested in concepts rather than material goods. He can be described as a mystical, ethereal, as well as intellectually sharp.
Oh, how flattering.
I know.
It's like a intellectual mystic sigma.
And there's like a different one that's like
my favorite definition of the Psy male.
Go for it.
Is literally the coolest type of male. They support women, have lots of friends, not in a pyramid scheme way, have teeth, usually.
Yes. Usually.
Don't believe in French, scare quotes, people. Really likes florists, are a little bit fruity, and are also really polite. Person A, oh my God, did you see Ethan? Person B, yeah, he was eating paper. Person A, he's such a Psy male.
It's so good. I almost copied that one.
French people.
Yeah. Oh man, which is very different than the Phi male, the PHI, which is like the complete because it's like F, it's like complete failure.
Oh,
of a male. Yeah, they're damn. All just. I don't think I have like a favorite. I love the ones where it's definitely like, this is definitely written by the person who identifies with this the most in the world, like the right. Pi, like PI, the Pi male, the male that is an in between of Sigma and Omega. He's kinda introverted, a nerd, confident, exceptionally smart, and most people don't expect him to be very socially experienced. He may look weird on the outside, like a nerd, but if you get to know him better, he's friendly and smart. He doesn't give a single fuck about everyone else except for his small group of friends. He's also pretty negative most of the time and pretty sarcastic. Example, Rick from the show Rick and Morty.
No, like before that, I was like, oh, this is some guy's like journal entry he put
and it's
on.
Like, nope.
Urban Dictionary, nope.
Or wait, there's and I'll read one more and we can go off on something else, but there was one that I saw that just, it made me chuckle because it was all the good internet words. Oh, where is it? The Chi male, CHI, the Chi male. Read your stuff before you post it. An Chi male is a man who seeks above all things knowledge. This is the type of guy who is super hot and has big dick energy, even though he just has an average penis. He's the type of guy who would reject normative societal typical normal standards. Would reject the normative societal typical normal standards of what a male should do instead of meticulously researches things online to see if there's a definition of every X male where X equals any Greek letter. Definition 2, based Giga Chad intellectual. Pursuer of
a t-shirt that says that.
I mean, look, with the Chi symbol and just, it just says, I'm going to get you that for Christmas this year.
A based Giga Chad intellectual. Can I'm going to need that more quickly so I can wear that while I'm conferencing this season.
Oh, you could have like the psi and the chi symbols, like psi plus chi equals base giga chad intellectual.
There we go. I
And then
think we just found my new lab shirt.
we could use it to promote Sci Chi at our university. Oh, they're not going to give
We
us
gotta tell
tenure.
our president about this.
Yes. Yeah. Pursuer of knowledge and discusser of the philosophical, enjoys researching things on the internet and through books, is like a Sigma in that he is introverted, but his mind is a beauty of its own. Okay. I have to read you this last part because we need to maybe discuss this aspect of it. They are generally black-pilled, Bulgaria-pilled, and pill-pilled, and forward-thinking.
Nani?
I have no idea, Thomas. I don't know
What's
what.
Bulgaria pilled?
You're like really into like Eastern European.
Bulgarian pilled.
Yeah, it's I had to look it up too. It just seems to be like people who are like really into Eastern European aesthetic.
I'm only seeing Soviet era medication from Bulgaria to help smokers quit.
Ooh, not Bulgarian,
Oh,
Bulgaria pilled.
Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Not Bulgaria. My bad.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
Yeah. No, it probably doesn't, but like I
Is it
love that
like
some of these have
Bulgarian
become
nationalism?
kind of it's what it seems. I don't know.
That's okay.
We're gonna have to ask Eva next time we see her.
Yes.
What is
I spoke with
Bulgaria
her
pilled?
I spoke with her this week while I was at Furry Fiesta.
That's good.
She was on speakerphone.
Yeah, I don't know beyond that. I don't have any. I could just go through these, but like that was like those are like the three best ones.
Well, I'm happy to report after learning about the Sigma male that I did indeed pass the Sigma male test a couple weeks ago when my friend asked me if I was a Sigma male. And I told him, no, I'm a stigmata male. And I sent him a picture of Saint Thomas getting crucified in India.
So,
So I passed the test because in our little quiz, I am the Sigma male.
me too, Thomas. Me too.
Ah, huzzah!
I like how they got a it's the Magi. It's got a Keanu Reeves on there.
It does.
Yeah, I think my answers were 8 sigma, 7 beta, 4 delta, 3 alpha, 3 omega, 3 gamma. And I probably like pushed myself over the edge because it was like, what did you think of our quiz? And I was like, it was awful. That is a total sigma response.
Let's see. Mine goes 10 sigma, 7 for delta and beta, 4 for gamma, 2 for omega, and 1 for alpha.
It is interesting that of the people who take this, most people score beta or
And then
sigma.
sigma, yeah. Which makes me think that this
Well,
hierarchy does not work.
I mean, probably, but also, like, it was a terrible quiz.
What are you talking about? It asked me for my Myers-Briggs type. Of course, it's accurate.
I mean, it also asked me like, what's in your room? The anime posters I put up. And I'm like, I don't have anime posters on my wall.
I think it was actually asking about the quiz writer's room.
Oh.
He was like, I assume it's a he, but I think he was just telling us to pick an item from his room.
Oh, see, I read that differently.
I don't even remember what I put down. I think we had to get a
Oh,
calculator.
man. Yeah. Anyway, so
So, I have an Ask Psychology for us this week.
huzzah.
That I think ties very well in, and it's something that we've beaten to death a couple times, I think, just in
Okay.
passing. But I think it's always good to bring it back up and remind listeners that they're in hell. Ask Psychology from 2 hours ago. What is the main potential harm that can come from self-diagnosing a mental disorder?
Exactly what we've been talking about all episode. You can identify with it to the point where it becomes your personality. And that could be harmful if it is everything you are. And you may not, you know, I don't know. I when I used to teach Psych 101, I want to go back. I want to teach Psych 101 again. Maybe I don't. Whenever I talk about like the abnormal stuff, like, you know, it's always prefacing everything. Like, everyone is anxious something, but it's not generalized anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a step. Everyone feels sad sometimes and burn out and worn down, but it may not be depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have these moments of elation, but it may not be mania. But if you self-diagnose and it becomes kind of a core aspect of your identity, it could worsen some of those symptoms, because if you identify as having an anxiety disorder, not diagnosed with one, with someone who has knowledge and understanding and can kind of help you on that path to treatment, it could make your symptoms worse, because you kind of like, no, I being anxious is normal for me. And like, people can manage those symptoms. And I guess the other side of that is that, like, if you have a diagnosis, you can get help, because these aren't like things that we should have to, like, if we have a way to manage them, even through talk, even through kind of working with ourselves to like help mediate some of our symptoms, like, we should get that help. We shouldn't just like accept that, well, there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm just diagnosed, or I'm going to use this diagnosis to get TikTok views.
Right. There's an interesting, let's say, what would you call this? Like a short report, a short communication in comprehensive psychiatry that came out this year that I added to my personality class when we do the dissociative identity disorder section. And it's social media as an incubator of personality and behavioral psychopathology, symptom and disorder authenticity, or psychosomatic social contagion. And so it goes through kind of the history of social media, and its influence on identifying with psychiatric disorders. And they focus in on the, let's see, they say algorithmic social media platforms to present with or claim functional psychiatric impairment that is inconsistent with or distinct from classic psychiatric nosology. So basically that when you identify with these disorders and it becomes part of your personality, and then you like get it reinforced within a group and an online like hyper real space, that you aren't actually demonstrating the symptomology associated with that disorder that you're identifying with, which then leads to treatment issues. So even if you do get to go, like these people are in Canada, but if you're in the United States and you do get the opportunity to go get counseling, then your therapist has to climb a mountain to figure out what's actually wrong. If you're telling them this diagnosis without an official diagnosis, but then you're presenting symptoms that are inconsistent with that diagnosis.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating.
Right. Because it's based on your perception of what that diagnosis, like if you're self-diagnosing, it's based on your perception of what that diagnosis is and not maybe the reality of it, or what the internet says that diagnosis is, and not that reality. And I just imagine how difficult it would be to treat that once it's become fairly ingrained. And especially if we're talking about like more dangerous stuff, like what if you're diagnosing yourself with borderline personality disorder or antisocial personality disorder? You're like, no, it's okay if I do this. I have ASPD. Like, wait, no, no, it's not. It's not
That's
good.
That's not okay.
I'm trying to find, there was this wonderful post on, this is a different one. There was a post on Our Professors that was talking about like accommodation support. And like, again, like that's usually the advice. Like if a student comes to you saying they've got some issue, they need to go through the accommodations office. That gives us a lot more power to help them. And we can usually do a lot more for it, but there's a lot of stuff that apparently like the worst of the worst, because only the worst of the worst scenarios come out in Our Professors. And one of them was like a student who claimed that they couldn't. And again, like the part of me like wants to take it with a grain of salt, but I have been teaching for a long time now. And I have seen some stuff and like it's been pretty tame compared to this. So like I can always like maybe believe it, but it was someone saying that they had a student who came to them and said, like, I can't turn in this assignment and get a grade on it because it's like triggering to my academic trauma. And the response was like, I mean, the comments were all just like just they need to go to the accessibility office, like if there's this problem, but also like if you've got severe academic trauma, like maybe trying to complete a semester is not going to help it.
Like, right.
Maybe you should take a break, get some help, come back to school when you're ready. But also like what even is like, there's nothing like that doesn't, I mean, like people can be traumatized in academic settings.
Yes.
But like there could be post-traumatic stress that is triggered by academic settings. But like, what do you mean you can't get a grade on your paper?
Right. And that's kind of, I don't know. That's also one of my like issues with the self-diagnosing too, is that like we're real. And this is like, you know, the same thing with these alphabet wolf people. Like I'm going to throw the self-diagnosing TikTokers in the same camp here.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is normal human suffering. That sucks, but it's not clinical. You don't deserve an identity because you suffer.
And maybe we'll come back to this in an episode, because I think we'd have probably the same conversation, that there is some accounting to be had. You're mm-hmm. in a world, you're in a living situation that sucks. The only thing you really have is social media, and you feel bad, you're burnt out, you're anxious. And it's tough to go find a therapist.
Yes, it is
really tough. If you even have access to one.
Mm-hmm.
And much like, in the same way that, yeah.
I have health insurance and I still can't find a therapist. So
they're all booked up.
But I am old enough to know not to go to TikTok and find camaraderie with people who I think share similar mental disorders as me.
And I think that's what we're seeing on the same thing with kind of the alpha beta. It's like, you know, we have these hierarchical structures that are kind of built in. They're built into our world at a young age. We have to learn hierarchy in school. Mm-hmm. It prepares us for a job setting, like having a teacher or a manager. And, you know, we have to try to make sense of it. And if the only solace we have is the internet,
God help us.
Yep.
We need to embrace our jouissance. Some destructive pleasure.
Yes. Because if you don't embrace the jouissance. We went to a Yoon thing last week. It was wild.
It was wild.
I loved it.
We actually met some we fancied ourselves Yoonians on this podcast. And we realized that we actually are imposters.
Yeah. We're on the cusp.
We're like, novices.
We're open and moving in that direction, but we are not. We are. So yeah, embrace your jouissance.
And don't go to Trader Joe's.
Yes. Yeah, don't go to Trader Joe's. That's what we've learned.
That's what we learned.
And we'll save that for another episode. on that bleak note, I guess we'll say goodbye.
Goodbye.